Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Youth Critic Podcast on the Youth Critic Network.
That was a terrible crash. We're lucky to be alive.
Whoa, whoa, stop! Don't come any closer.
It's a girl.
Girl! Oh my gosh, girl.
I'm sorry.
No movies.
Blonde hair. I've just never seen a girl before.
Who are you?
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Youth Critic Podcast. I'm your host, Kale Smith. Joining me this week is David Weiser from Film Assessment.
Hey, everybody.
So, viewers, we're doing things very differently. we are, instead of doing one movie, we are talking about one actor's two movies they had released back-to-back. We are talking about Tom Holland's double feature, and if you were lucky, you got to see, you know, the two movies in theaters. I was not. David, I am assuming you were not as lucky either, with Thing, Cherry and Chaos walking in theaters. but yes, we are going to be talking about Cherry and then Chaos Walking. And as an added bonus, I saw Cherry 6 weeks ago. And David just saw it like last week, I'm assuming.
Oh, it was like 3 weeks ago, maybe.
Oh, so we will be talking very briefly on Cherry because we both have a very fuzzy memory. And then we'll go into Chaos Walking. Spoilers galore for each movie because we can't. It's going to be interesting. It's already going to be hard enough to decipher what was which movie because they're both crazy in different ways. David, starting with Cherry, what'd you think?
I hated it. It was just, it felt like the Russos wanted to fit every possible filmmaking technique that they weren't allowed to use on the Marvel movies into one movie. And like, it was just so obnoxiously in your face the whole time, like everything. Like, I especially found probably the most obnoxious thing to me was the portion that was set at the boot camp when, like, every time they got yelled at, the text popped up on the screen and filled up almost the entire screen and with what they were saying as they were saying it. And it was like, this is just obnoxious. I hate this trend on social media, much less in a feature film that was meant to be released in theaters for awards consideration.
So, yeah. As I remember, Cherry, I saw it in February. Now it's April as of this recording. The recording will probably come out in July, given how unlucky we've been. But no. But yeah, Cherry is one of those movies that it's interesting because you want the Russos to pull like an interesting movie out, especially after being with Marvel for almost a decade now. And what they come out with is a movie that you can tell there was a lot of passion behind it, but it's kind of like the John Walker of movies about, you know, veterans and PTSD. Like, it feels like, you know, not to draw Falcon Winter Soldier into this, but it's a movie that thinks it's doing something, but it's actually more harmful, more, I would even argue more egregious than what they're depicting. Because in a way, they're not making light of, you know, heroin addicted, you know, PTSD bank robbers, but you get this, but by making it a chaotic movie, you know, all the way through, and you are trying to root for, and you want to root for Holland and the girl who plays his girlfriend. You want them, by putting them as like the protagonists, the people that, you know, have goals, it just, it does a disservice. And then I really did not like any of the military stuff at all. I thought trying to make joke of that military training and stuff, I thought really was, you know, I think it's almost borderline offensive. I think it's just absolutely, because you're not, you're saying something that is true, that is subjectively true about the military, but you're also separating, you're separating the reality with, you know, fiction, if you will. So that's where I was falling out of love with Cherry. And then the ending is in slow-mo, and the ending's ridiculous. But yeah, do you have anything for Cherry?
I thought Tom Holland was clearly putting a lot of effort into this role, but he just felt so woefully miscast to me. Like, it felt like, I don't know, it just didn't seem like the right role for him.
In certain shots, Holland, like, the Russos do a brilliant job of, like, making those two kids in there. Like, making them really vulnerable and painting them, like, as kids stuck in this, like, really shitty environment. But other than that, I agree. Especially, you know, at the end of the movie when we're supposed to believe that the main character is, like, 40 years old and he has, like, this fake mustache. And he still looks like he's in his 20s. So, weird decisions. That should be the title of the review. Weird decisions were made for Cherry. But yeah, I mean, and it makes me, and this kind of makes me even nervous because they're doing The Gray Man next. And then did you see the Chris Hemsworth movie that they produced, Extraction? Okay.
No.
So Extraction has that same, like, very political, but also apolitical side to everything. Like, trying to give, you know, both sides of a conflict, you know, equal playing ground. And it just comes off as not, it comes out, you know, saying nothing, but still trying to be, like, emotionally deep with, like, the sad YouTube video style music. Yeah, it doesn't, yeah, it's both Extraction and Cherry are doing similar things and they come out with nothing to say or nothing impactful to say. But yeah, there's not much, I saw this movie 6 weeks ago and you saw this 3 weeks ago. Is there any more to encapsulate on?
One thing that seemed weird to me was, like, Tom Holland's character seemed kind of like this weird, like, wish fulfillment with how, like, he, like, daydreamed about this girl and then, like, just ends up with her. There's not really much to it.
Yeah.
You know, like the way that happens, it felt like some weird, like, I felt like it was kind of like a weird something that was projected onto the character a little bit.
Well, I mean, just even how...
And that might come from the source material, but it's just something.
Yeah, I mean, well, even just how, like, they get together and then how their relationship takes a pause, like, everything feels like it's missing connecting tissue. And even, like, when she sticks around, you're wondering to yourself, why is she still here? Like, why is she joining in with this? Because it feels like to me there should have been a connecting tissue moment where she does feel guilt that he went over there and is suffering from all this. But we're missing that, you know, moment. We're missing that, you know, that one moment that she, you know, feels empathy or feels like she's trapped in this relationship. And
so
she
it feels hollow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. So,
and I think she seemed like a good actress, but I don't know. Like I said.
Yeah, it's all over the place. And then there's, I mean, of course, there's, you know, all over Twitter, the colonoscopy scene that's been spoiled. Yeah, that's completely unnecessary. Everything that's over the top feels overwrought. The only things I could say I really liked are, like, so when he starts bank robbing and, like, the silhouette of the person drops and we just see, like, regular people as bank tellers, it adds this level of empathy that, you know, that now the movie is basically showing that these, like, faceless figures are people that are actually getting hurt. They're actual people and they're actually, you know, in danger. That this character who I don't even know if has a name. I don't remember if he even had a name. Honestly.
Probably did. I don't know.
Yeah.
Kind of just don't. Is his name Jerry? I thought that was not his actual name, but like.
No, the military lieutenant officer that's in the training camp is named Cherry, and that's what the movie's named after. Or something of that nature. Yeah. It's so, yeah. Am I forgetting anything else about Cherry?
I'm sure there is. It's a lot to forget about Cherry.
Jack Rayner is in this movie.
In some ways.
I found it comical that the big, like, drug dealer, the Eisenberg that they run up, is like tattooed up to being like the devil for some reason, like over the top the devil. Yeah. I would like to meet someone one day that does love this movie, because I think this movie will have fans, but I don't know who. If that makes sense. All right. So, is there anything else to say with Cherry? I know we've only been on this for just like less than 10 minutes, but is there anything you got for Cherry?
I don't think I have anything.
All right, let's go to the next one. Chaos Walking, the movie. So to give preference to the viewer, this is a movie that's been delayed all kind of a la New Mutants for the last 2 years. It was supposed to come out March 2019, I believe. And then they pushed it because they had like lots of reshoots. At one point, a studio executive just went ahead and just said, this is most unreleasable film he's ever watched. I don't know how you could say that, because there's so many.
I didn't think it was that bad, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, they were talking about a cut like before the reshoots. So, and then I read somewhere that Fede Alvarez of Evil Dead Remake and Don't Breathe fame came in and helped on direct reshoots while Lyman was still a cinematographer.
Which is wild, because like Doug Lyman can do some really great stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Like
Edge of Tomorrow.
Even
The Born Identity.
American Hustle.
American Made. That movie bangs.
Yeah.
That movie's really underrated. I really like that movie.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith, you know, Swingers. The only movie I've ever seen of Doug Liman's that really just didn't come together was Jumper with Hayden Christensen.
I vaguely remember that. I saw it when I was way younger. I haven't rewatched it.
Yeah, me too. I saw it when I was like 12, I think. So, and even then I was kind of bored. So, but yeah, I'm a huge Doug Liman fan, and I was very eager to see this because this was kind of like him taking a break from Tom Cruise, because he was kind of quickly being attached to all these projects that Tom Cruise just so happened to also be attached to.
And now it's Mr. Christopher McQuarrie's his man.
Yeah. Yeah, and...
But they're still going to make that movie together in space, the one they're shooting in space.
Apparently so. If he can ever finish Mission Impossible.
That got delayed another year.
I know, it's like... I know, and now Top Gun just got kicked out of the summer again. It's like, ugh, no, just release them. Just release the movies.
Release the Tom Cruise cut.
Yeah, release the Cruise cut. Release the Cruise cut. Release the Liman cut, because... this was an interesting failure, because here's the thing I'll say about Doug Liman: whenever he does miss, it is a very boring, it's somewhat boring experience. So
I thought this was simultaneously boring and somewhat ambitious at times.
Yeah,
it's kind of both.
Yeah, I like watching the movie. I can kind of piece together like what was they were going for. Like, this is very much a movie about you know, the roles of masculinity and what, you know, masculine figures and idols, you know, mean to, you know, growing adolescents, especially for Tom Holland's character Todd Hewitt. You know, and I love that, you know, Todd Hewitt is, you know, stuck between this kind of, you know, this vulnerable side of him and this need to be a man, need to be prove himself as a man. And, you know, in the face of, you know, trying to, keep Daisy Ridley's Viola alive, but also impressing her as well. You know, and then on top of that, there's, you know, an alien or a weird CG creature that shows up halfway through the movie and then never is seen again. Cynthia Erivo runs a community. And it's like, and then everything kind of looks like After Earth for some reason. Like, the designs of everything kind of feels very, even the look of it feels very After Earth-like. So it's I can see an ambitious, more thoughtful movie about, because even the movie opens with, you know, this the title about, you know, it, you know, a man's noise is chaos walking, you know, kind of representing, you know, the insecurities of masculinity, you know, being on display. When he's left with, you know, when he's left with no woman or females to kind of counteract that with. This is a very interesting movie to me. But I don't know, like, why this was such a, you know, disaster at one point. What do you think?
I thought it was okay. I thought Daisy Ridley and Tom Holland both did pretty well. I don't think they really had chemistry, but they both gave good performances, respectively, if that makes sense. I didn't really feel like a very much chemistry between them at all. But I guess it's kind of meant to be that way because he kind of just like has a crush on Viola. Like, he doesn't really like. She doesn't really ever seem to like reciprocate. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even in the movie, I mean, when the movie ends, the before the last scene in the movie, you know, really when the spaceship lands and they're just kind of waiting, you just feel more like these are going to be really good friends. Like, you know, yeah, they might like, you know, sit down, talk some, you know, stuff out. But then
just ultimately, because it feels such like a young adult dystopian story, kind of like Hunger Games, Divergent. All the, it feels like it kind of in that wheelhouse. Not, I mean, plot wise, it's totally different, but like, well, it's
from the same studio.
Yeah, it's both of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not to cut you off, but that is where it's trying to cut the movie in that way, but you feel like Doug Liman is like not interested in that at all. And that's like why I wish there was more of like, I want to see more of like what was supposed or learn more about what was his movie supposed to be. But yeah, assessing the movie that we got, it's interesting, and then the ending of the movie definitely feels like reshoots. Like, it just definitely does. Like, it feels contrasting to the relationship that we had been watching the last hour and 40 minutes. Yeah. But, you know, I will say this, though. Crazy as it sounds, Charlie Kaufman wrote a version of this movie. Kind of have to wonder what that was supposed to be.
Release the Kaufman script.
Just release the Kaufman script. Actually release all the drafts. The Lyman cut. Man, there's going to be so many hashtags for Chaos Walking later.
But no one's going to care enough to tweet.
That's the sad part. It's just going to be you. It's just going to be you and me like coming up with all these hashtags. But they will never catch on. Go ahead, yeah.
I also like Mads Mikkelsen as Philip. I mean, I always like Mads Mikkelsen in like anything. This isn't like one of his best performances or anything, but you know, he's just such a good actor that he brings like an intensity to his character. So I like this. Other than that, I mean, it's kind of paint by numbers, dystopian young adult story, kind of like I said.
Yeah, with okay effects. Nick Jonas is in this movie for no reason. Like, he just kind of shows up to be Nick. He just kind of shows up. Like, he's not giving, I don't think he's giving a bad performance. He's just given nothing to do.
Yeah, it's just such an insignificant character.
Yeah. Yeah, David Oyelowo is here also and given.
I was not expecting him to like kill the dog the way he does. That was pretty intense.
You say that, but I was surprised the dog made it last that long. And it was brutal. Like, I know it.
Yeah, it's brutal for a PG-13.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure. Like, yeah. Yeah, I mean, even how it goes, like that poor dog, Magish, I think this was his name. Like the way he goes, it's just like that is so awful. He just stuffs in the water and then just lets him go.
Oh. Another random thing, just because we brought up David Oyelowo, like a lot of the action in the third act, just the way it was cut and shot was like incomprehensible to watch.
Yeah, I could honestly, you could probably, if you would have told me that they had just hired like a David Oyelowo like lookalike and just filmed him, use that with reshoots and then use ADR later to fill it in, because it is so like just shaky, like all over the place, and then he goes up in flames and you're just like, oh, I guess he's done. That was a weird thing to happen, because yeah, it's very like, it is a very weird, like, his death is weird, but I did like Mads Mikkelsen's way out. Like, I love that, you know, you know, that his fear is his own, you know, cowardice, and that's what does him in. I actually kind of like that, and you know, Mads Mikkelsen is really good in this. Again, like, it's the same problem with everyone else. Like, no one's really given much to do or to shine. Like, I mean, everyone, like, even Tom Holland and Daisy Ridley, like, they just, you know, they're there to say lines and look great or whatever. So it's that's why it's so weird watching this. Like, it's like you have everyone in here is so talented, but they have nothing for them to do.
And I think the premise, like the idea of seeing man's thoughts, but you can't see women's thoughts, is very fascinating. And I feel like it could have been explored in a more interesting way. So, like, I feel like there was a lot of potential and it just kind of really materialized.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great idea. It's an absolutely interesting idea. And even more so, you put it in the middle of a story where, you know, where Holland is in kind of the middle of, you know, trying to repress his vulnerable side to be a man, but also, you know, he has to open up to be with this girl or to develop any kind of connection with this girl. I don't know. I found that kind of interesting, you know, too. And I just, again, I just wish there was more. I wish there was more connecting tissue to make this all interesting. And there was an explanation why there's an alien. There's like an alien that attacks Tom Holland in the middle of this movie. Or a giant squid, or like, yeah, it's just, or how does the noise work? Like, how does it looks like, how does one make their noise so lifelike that it, you know, tricks people? Like, it's just a bonkers movie. But yeah. So, is there, you said earlier you missed like the first few minutes of Chaos Walking. Do you have any questions about that?
I feel like I was able to figure out what was going on. I think basically what I missed was probably Daisy Ridley crashing or whatever. So I don't know how that happened. I just know she ended up on the planet, and I know they found her, and that's from what I saw. So I felt like they provided enough context to help me figure out that, like, Tom Holland's mom had died or whatever, and apparently Mads Mikkelsen was responsible for the women, maybe, or
whatever. Yeah, what a plot twist. No, so the crash scene, it just, you know, it just happens. Like,
there's no like explanation, there's no like context. It's just like, oh, there's a crash ship.
Well, so we meet Daisy Ridley in the ship, and she's with like some other passengers. And then just something, like, the ship starts shaking and then alarms start going off. And then, like, the person in front of his noise starts going off. And that's how you know, like, she's close by or close enough to the planet, the new world. And then it cuts to, you know, loud noise in the field, and then that's it. Somehow Tom Holland gets from the farm to the crash site in, like, minutes. So, yeah. That's basically it. It's a very, like, there's no explanation. It's just like, it's the same reason the ship in After Earth crashed. Just something happened, malfunctioned, and then it crashed. Yeah.
Maybe they should. I don't think I missed anything.
You really didn't. David Oyelowo punches or slaps Tom Holland for not going to church. Nick Jonas gets attacked by a CGI snake. It, you know, nothing was really missed. Other than, I think the only important detail I could say is, you know, Mads Mikkelsen sort of, you know, is idolized by Holland's character. It's like the guy, because he doesn't really like his dad and uncle, I guess.
I think so, I kind of picked up on that, at least.
Mm-hmm. Well, he just doesn't see them as, like, the men that they should be. So, whereas in Mads Mikkelsen is the man they should be. So, as I do, like, air quotes saying that. So, but yeah, it's that's what you missed. And then, yeah, it's pretty much straightforward. The ending ends on a ship. And yeah, it's pretty wild. It's pretty wild. And it's even wild to figure, like, they do a good job of not, you know, of hiding what was reshoots and what was not reshoots. But yeah, it's not that bad. Like, I keep looking at the RT meter and it's like, it's not that bad. It's just a very mediocre film. That's released, of course, that's just dumped in the middle of the pandemic. But yeah, so we've watched two Tom Holland movies back to back.
That we're probably never going to revisit.
No. And I don't know about you, but I'm feeling bad for Tom Holland.
Who is his agent? And I feel bad for both of them. Outside of Star Wars and Spider-Man, they just had a really bad string of, like, gigs.
Yeah, I mean, well, for Daisy Ridley, the only other thing she's done besides this and Star Wars is Murder on the Orient Express.
And she did that Ophelia. I mean, it was really small, but she did that Ophelia movie.
Oh, I didn't even know
that. And then she narrated a documentary, but, like, that doesn't count.
Well, to be fair to Ridley, I mean, yes, she's still acting, and she's working on a new, she's working on three different movies right now. But it seems to me that, you know, she really enjoys, like, her studies and university and stuff and studying music. A huge part of the Star Wars thing for her was John Williams, or just, you know, getting to meet and work, you know, beside John Williams. So I think for her, it's just kind of like, you know, I'm acting because it's a good job. And, you know, I'm wanting to do these interesting projects, but, you know, yeah. I just
like her as an actress, and I want her to be in better projects.
Absolutely.
And I feel similarly about Tom Holland. I like him as an actor, and I want to see him better projects.
Well, my thing about Holland, and going back to The Devil Knows All the Time, or whatever that movie is called.
That's outside of Spider-Man, that's one that I did like.
Okay. I will say this about this and then these two films is that the problem I have with Holland's career is that he's trying so hard to not get stuck in that Spider-Man, that teenager mode of Spider-Man.
But he's trying to escape the typecasting, but you still feel it, like, in his performance.
Right. Yeah, and then on top of that, he's doing Uncharted. And you already are thinking to yourself, he's a great actor, but did no one want to play the video games? Like, even I don't play the video games. But even I am like... Yeah. It's not a detriment to Tom Holland. I think he's a great actor. It's just, I don't know, like,
he's how this too is young. Go.
He is.
And then, like, apparently he wants to be James Bond, so, like, they're a bunch of funny movies.
No, don't do James Bond. No.
That would be, maybe, like, when he's, like, middle-aged, maybe I can see it working then, but, like, not now.
When he's, like, Tom Hardy's age. Like, yeah. Like, let him, like, you know, I just kind of, like, Holland, he needs... Well, first of all, I understand, like, him doing Cherry for the Russos because they were very essential to him.
Were instrumental in, like, jump-starting his career, period.
Yes. And getting him the role of a lifetime. Like, that is, like, and the role that, you know, he grew up watching, you know, playing as a kid. So it's just one of the, so I mean, I understand from him, it's like, okay, I'll do this little art project for, you know, for my friends, you know, I'll do this for them, you know, and then, but yet I just wish, you know, like he's making exciting choices, but he's still getting miscast in these roles. So here's hoping that he's joining the cast of Knives Out 2 one day. Mm-hmm. Or 3. One of the.
I'm curious to see when casting news comes out about that. You know, it's going to have to be kind of soon. Supposedly, it's going to start filming in June.
I wouldn't be surprised if we don't get one until June. Like, because if you remember correctly, and not to go on a tangent, but if you remember correctly,
the casting news dropped like before they started filming the first one.
Like, yeah, like within the 2 weeks before filming. So, like, I mean, we knew Daniel Craig was in it, but I mean, everyone kind of folded into the film like within a month, and then they started filming like not like days later. Yeah. So I don't know. I think they just announced the start date, and now they're gonna probably start like poking some holes. Like, hey, do you want to be in this? Hey, do you want to have a role in this? That kind of stuff. Yeah. It'll be interesting.
Let's get a Last Jedi reunion.
Yes. Have Mark Hamill play a character.
Yeah. Like Kelly Marie Tran and Adam Driver. But Daisy Ridley.
Yeah.
John Boyega.
Oscar Isaac just shows up for no reason. and then Joseph Gordon-Levitt's also just in it. So.
Lupita Nyong'o. Gwendolyn Christie. Yeah.
Like, I have questions. So did Lupita Nyong'o actually work with Rian Johnson, or did she just kind of like do her scene with somebody? Like, because that's one of those things where like a producer could just handle it or something.
Like, or an AD.
Or an AD artist could just like, you know, take the lines and whatever. Like, it just feels like that's one of those, you know, things that would have been a phone call and then that's it. At most. So, but yeah. Anyway, that's our excitement for the Knives Out Netflix announcement, folks.
I am disappointed it's going to Netflix.
Chances are they'll still probably release it in limited theaters.
Yeah, but limited.
Fair enough. And we're not going to probably see it till 2022 anyway, so at least
with Lionsgate, it was guaranteed. It had to be, is pretty much guaranteed at the actual world. I mean, I understand it's good for Rian Johnson, everyone involved, they got big payday, but let's get back to it.
Yeah, one day we'll talk about Netflix again. We'll rope them into a conversation one day. But yeah, so I really like Tom Holland and wish him the best. This was just a very weird double feature. Is there any more to say on either Cherry or Chaos Walking? Yeah. All right. Well, that's it for this week, folks. David, do you have a blog?
Yeah, it's called Film Assessment. I posted my Godzilla vs. Kong review kind of recently. I have a bunch in draft that I'm working on that need to get uploaded, but I'm taking my time. So you can head over to Film Assessment. So I have Twitter handle Film Assessment, and then my Twitter handle from the personal thing is Wiser.
Cool. And then you can find me on Twitter at MovieKale. This is where you'll get information and stuff about the podcast. Thanks, everyone. We'll be back with y'all. I don't know if we'll be back next week. If we are, it'll be later in the week. Because there's not much coming out. We might just do a catch-up episode. If not, we'll see you guys for the Oscars or Mortal Kombat. One of the two. One of the two. All right. Thanks, everyone. We'll be back with you next week.
It's so loud here.
We call it the noise. Happened to all the men on this planet. Every thought in our heads, we're on display.
Where are all the women?
They're dead.
What is she thinking? Where the hell is her noise?
It's strange to see everything you're thinking.
You know, it's strange for me too, not knowing what's going on in your head.
I mean, I don't know, you might not like my dog, or you want to hit me over the head with a rock or something.
I like your dog.
He's stronger than he knows.
He knows.
You better watch your noise.
Snake.
If those men catch you, they'll kill you.
Get in the boat!
If you want to protect the girls, you have to leave now.
Safe.
With her power, there's no telling what he can do. I need that girl before she wants him. How many are coming? 100? 200?
Thousands.
Come on, I am Hewitt,
the man.
Fight.
Be quiet.
They're trying.
Come on,
fight.